Let's go. One pair of training shoes, one thin passport. One tuning fork. One sugar lump. One half scissor. One brown plastic monkey. One tape recorder. Another sugar lump. One see-through cassette. And that's it.
Arrêtez de vous reproduire. Vous êtes des animaux. 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 Allez crever. Vous êtes des animaux. Vous êtes des animaux. Vous êtes des animaux. Vous êtes des animaux.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, sometimes I just like to fuck with you guys with the music. Welcome to the Insomnia Stream, Consequence Edition. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. Hope you're all having a good weekend, I guess, right? About almost halfway through it, depending on where you are in the world, right? Tonight, it's kind of feature rich tonight. It's gonna be got a lot of stuff to get through, a lot of stuff. So I guess we'll kind of just get right into it. I was gonna talk maybe a little bit about the. The Onion's really bad parody of InfoWars. Holy fuck, it wasn't funny at all. And as I said on Twitter, it's because if you don't understand the thing you're parodying, satirizing, It can't be funny. Or actually, coincidentally enough, I think Norm Macdonald actually said that you have to actually kind of like who you're mocking, like on some level, or else it just comes across as like bitchy. I'm summarizing. That's not precisely what he said. But yeah, also Tim Heidegger is just not funny. He was never funny. When the Tim and Eric show or whatever came on, I mean, maybe if you were blasted out of your mind on drugs, maybe, but I don't think so. Cause there were times when that show was on and I was high as a kite and I still didn't think it was funny. That was when I turned Adult Swim off, was when that show came on. And so he's never been funny as far as I'm concerned. And he's gotten less funny as he's gotten older. So I don't think it's going to last very long. Anyway, I just thought I would say that. But I don't really have much to say other than that. Other than just like, holy fuck. Like, they spent all this money, right? They spent all this money to own InfoWars, and it's just terrible. Like, it's really bad. And it's going to go the way of That's My Bush. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's the thing. You won't know what it is. It was some terrible show that on Comedy Central for the same kind of reason. Actually, I think it was by Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Like at the peak of their South Park fame, when they had a lot of sway at Comedy Central, and they made the budget was ridiculous, and it was just terrible. I watched like one episode and was just like, what is this? This is like, I think everyone just watched one episode because they canceled it after 8. And it was just bad. It was just like, it just sounded like they were being bitchy about Bush. But anyway, I suspect it will not be long for this world. But who knows? Maybe lefties will keep it going. Anyway, something else on YouTube that I saw that kind of got the ball rolling for tonight's stream was a video. I don't even know why it popped up in my feed because I don't follow this guy. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. But the title had me interested because on the thumbnail, you see just like this boomer guy, right? Looks like a good old boy. And the title was How Diversity Got Rid of Competency. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Is it starting to click with some people? Is it starting to click with some people that white replacement means everything's going to start to suck? Are you telling me that there's actually boomers out there that are putting this together? And that's kind of how it appears at first. So let's have a little listen. This is how it starts out. I cut it way down. So this part's edited, but it starts out with a lot of these videos that, in fact, this is becoming a genre. It's becoming a genre now of content creation to just go around on job sites and point out the shitty work that Mexicans do. Like, that's now a genre of content. There are channels dedicated to just white guys going to job sites where they're building a house or something and go, oh, look, this sucks. Hey, look, the Mexicans did this and this sucks. Oh, the Mexicans did this and this sucks. And that's kind of how it starts out.
I took this past week off to help some friends out. They brought in a contractor to build a deck for them, and it was supposed to have an enclosed porch, screened-in porch on it, on the front here. It turned into a disaster. Let's dig a little deeper now. Let's take a look at some of the stuff. Okay, so we've got this beam right here. All right, this is going to support what's going to be the roof. Okay, let's take a close look at this beam. Not a lot of support there, is it? All of these beams are out of plumb. I know that's hard to imagine, but they are. Okay, we've got this beam, and we've got a pier under it. We've got this beam, and we've got a pier under it. They're just not centered on the house. Notice where the front door is. Notice where that beam is. Notice where that beam is. The piers weren't laid out very well. That pier should have been on the corner matching that, and then they should have been equally spaced in between everything, just symmetry. This beam here, and we've got a beam up top. All right. Notice anything unusual about the beam up top? They literally have a joist hanger holding up that beam. Okay, so the beam that's on this side that's running across that's going to support all of the rafters for the roof, it's supported by a joist hanger. This beam here on the corner, well, it's just like the one back there. It's not supported by anything underneath it. Here we go. It's just out in space.
That's right. And so this is how a lot of these videos go, right? They just point out, like, the fact that everything's being built like shit. Like, complete and utter shit, because Mexicans are shitty builders. And all this propaganda you've been told, they work hard, and but no, they have you been to Mexico? Isn't it weird that all the greatest builders of the world would come from a country where everything looks like shit? You know, like, has anyone done the math before on that one? So he points out all these things wrong with it. And you're like, he's putting together the fact that, well, you know, like, this is a product of diversity. I mean, that's what the title implies, right? And so he starts to opine, and he almost gets it. He's getting there. It's just that residue is, it's thick. It's had decades to build up in there, right? It's like if you ever had, like, you ever try to restore an old car that's been sitting a long time, and the gas tank was never emptied, and you can try to get it running. You know, you can change out the fuel filter and spray out the carburetor and whatnot, but until you drain out the gunk in the gas tank, it's just going to keep clogging up.
I went to have my tailpipe fixed on my truck. Tailpipe had broke loose from the muffler, and I went by the muffler shop, and it wasn't a muffler shop anymore. All right, so the old man that ran the business, he either finally sold it or retired or passed away or something. I don't know. I hadn't heard. Okay, but last time I talked to him, he was looking to sell the business and retire, and he was on up in age. All right, well, that particular old man, when I left there Monday and he wasn't there anymore. I felt bad, primarily because I knew I was going to miss just being able to go there and whatever and he had done on the exhaust, he was just going to do it and do a really good job. I mean, it was going to be right. All right. With that said, he wasn't a very nice old man. I mean, just, he really wasn't. He was plain spoken, and he was the opposite of diversity, whatever. If a woman had went to his shop, she would have swore up and down he was just sexist, misogynist, patriarch, what, all the bad terms you can think to call a man. She'd have swore he was all those. If a minority went to his shop, they would swear up and down he was racist. I mean, he was the stereotypical racist white male, old racist white male. Okay, except for he wasn't any of those things.
No, he probably was. He probably was. But he's tiptoeing. He's tiptoeing. You know, he's walking through that sludge in the gas tank. He's tiptoeing through it. He's trying to say, you know, but he wasn't right. No, he probably was. He probably was sexist. And he probably was racist.
He was just an ass.
And he was probably that too.
Let me rephrase that. He didn't have social skills. Okay, and that's something I've noticed in the past is that so many people that are really smart and really competent and good at something, they so often don't have any social skills. Okay, that part of their brain, the part that controls interactions with people, it don't work. But they're good at what they do. Okay, and then I was thinking more about this, and I realized that so much of what we hear about as far as diversity, really, it isn't about racism. It's trying to get rid of mean people.
No, it's trying to get rid of white people. See, he's so close. He's so close. He doesn't realize, no, it's about getting rid of white people. It's just that non-whites think we're assholes because we are better at stuff. And we do get frustrated when dealing with stupid people. And so we come across as assholes. We come across as condescending assholes because you have to condescend when talking to someone where there's a good 20-point IQ gap. So he's sort of identified the problem, but he's stripping the racial aspect out of it.
Okay, that's basically what it comes down to. We don't want any mean people.
White people.
Right, well, then you get into, well, what do you mean by mean? Because there are some racist people out there. There are sexists. Pick something. There's somebody out there that's that, of all races and colors and sexes and everything else.
Oh, my God, stop.
There's some people that just, they're rude. They're not mean. Again, they don't have social skills. Okay, well, we got rid of those people.
White people.
That old man that retired from the muffler shop or so, whatever happened, okay, he couldn't get a job at any corporation. I mean, they'd bring him in for an interview, and the first question, nope.
That's what's happening to white people. See, you've figured it out, kind of, but you're so afraid.
He was salty. That ain't going to fly in a modern corporate work environment where everybody's got to be nice.
And no one can be white and competent. See, so close. He's so close.
The people working on this were really nice. Very diverse group. Right, the people at Home Depot, that's the modern, you know, corporate diversity, nice people, inclusive, all that. Right, which is fine. Except for I sure miss competency from somebody.
You miss white people.
I mean,
Yes. Yes. And now what I edited out, the reason he mentioned Home Depot there is he talked about how he called up Home Depot and they didn't they barely spoke English and they were assholes. I don't mean like assholes like me, like the way he's using it, assholes as in like morons. And he just can't bring himself. And he said white, you know, he's like knocking on heaven's door on this one.
With diversity, that whole, you know, we need diversity. All right, it started out as we got to fight racism, sexism, all the isms. Okay, and I get that.
No,
and there
no.
are some mean people out there that are racist, sexist, misogynist. You pick something. But it never just somewhere along the line, I think the whole diversity movement just assumed competence would just happen on its own.
Yes. Yes, they assumed if they got rid of white people, the non-whites would perform at white levels. That's what you're so close. You can't get through all that sludge in the gas tank. You got to drain that sludge out, man. You got to drain that sludge out. It's not about assholes. They're trying to get rid of white people because white people are competent. They got rid of the white people. Now no one's competent because they're not white.
And it didn't. And what it turned into is just a war on
white people.
Outspoken, brutally honest people.
White people.
Asses. I mean, that's about the only way to describe them. I mean, just
white people.
But those were the competent people.
White people.
And we lost them.
White people. For the love of God, just fucking say it. And you can tell he knows. You can tell he knows. So annoying. You can tell he fucking knows. But he won't say it. He won't say it. And that's the problem. You know, and I've talked a lot about how behavior is genetic, and this is one of these genetic behaviors of white people, unfortunately. The more I go back and look at the history of white nationalism and people that have been trying to sound the alarm, and then you look at the people who oppose them, they're often other white people. And it's shocking how exactly the fucking same the arguments are. Because it is and it isn't. It is until you realize it's genetically coded. And those people will get selected out. That's the good news. It's just going to be a painful process. A very painful process. And we were born at a time where like that process is taking place. One such instance was Tom Metzger had a show back in the day, back in the 1980s, called Race and Reason on Public Access. Race and Reason. Now, these episodes are hard to find. I was able to find this one, and it was mostly because on his show, he had a conservative talk show host named Wally George. Wally George was a like the prototypical TV shock jock in a way. Like he had a daytime TV show, or actually I'm not sure when it aired. But it was a low budget UHF TV show out of Orange County in California. And he basically, I would say, he laid down the groundwork for later shows that Jews would produce, like Jerry Springer, only they would go super Jewish with it by having people throwing chairs and fighting and this sort of a thing. Whereas that sort of thing had never been, you know, happened on television before. Wally George, while he is not Jewish himself, loves him some Jews. And it might have something to do with the fact that his mother was a Hollywood child actress and he grew up in Hollywood surrounded by Jews. And worked in broadcasting his whole life surrounded by Jews. And he had Tom Metzger on his show. We'll look at some of that afterwards. And it went poorly. Let's just put it that way. You'll see in a moment. And Tom Metzger, after making a few appearances on his show, by the way, Tom Metzger was a, if you don't know, was a white nationalist in the 1980s. He died, I think, in 2020. His organization didn't really do too well, but at his peak, he was one of the most popular, if not the most popular, white nationalist, I guess, leaders in America for a time. On this show, he said, well, you know, I went on your show, Wally, so you have to go on my show. So Wally George goes on his show. And this is kind of how it goes down. I thought it'd be interesting to look at parts of this, and then we'll take a look at Wally George's show and Tom Metzger. Why Tom Metzger might be so pissed off and argumentative, and why his security staff might have spurged out, which they did. You'll see some Nazi spurg out action here in a minute. In the studio here at their public access show. But I want you to pay careful attention to the, with some exceptions, because obviously, you know, this was 45 years ago, or I think this is like 80, it's like 80, this actually probably about 40 years ago, but this is 40 years ago. So things have changed politically, but even so, it's shocking how this dynamic is the exact dynamic that you see with white nationalists today and the conservatives that run cover for Jews, the conservatives that run cover for blacks, the white conservatives that all their wildest dream is having a based black friend. The typical MAGA, really. This is 100%, like, it's eerie how similar the discussion between Tom Metzger, white nationalist circa 1986, I think this was, versus Wally George, how exactly this is the kind of arguments you would see between a white nationalist 40 years fucking later and a MAGAtard.
I'm Tom Metzger, your host for Race and Reason. Race and Reason, a show dedicated to freedom of speech, total free speech, that small island of free speech in a sea of controlled and managed news. And now I go to my co-host, Tom Padgett, who will introduce our guest for the day. Tom, what do we have?
Tom, you're not going to believe who we have on the show today. We have an individual who you've been on his show 5 times and stomped him 5 times.
Ha!
And you've issued a challenge for him to show up on our show.
Well, Nobody stomps me.
Delaying and delaying and delaying for a long time. Finally, he's worked up the nerve to come on. Take a look at him. For those of you who know him, no introduction is necessary. For those of you who don't, this gentleman calls himself Wally George.
Wally George host, on our show?
The host of the controversial TV show, The Hot Seat.
He finally accepted my challenge.
Now, first of all, let me explain
now you're
to
on
those...
Our, you're yeah, on our hot seat.
Let me explain to your fans out there, Tom, both of your fans who might be watching. Let me explain, first of all, I am not here because I agree with this dimwit. I am here as a conservative to tell you that all people are not nitwits like these Nazi perverts. The real conservative is for Ronald Reagan and decency and morality.
Oh,
and,
come on now.
And we are against racism. We believe that all men and women are created equal.
Oh,
all races, all colors, all creeds are equal.
I mean, that's your conservative. I'm going to try to take the hum out of that, by the way, for the next clip. We'll see if my little effect works. So this is your typical conservative. For people commenting on the hair, I'm almost certain that's a wig. So he wore a wig because, yeah. But anyway.
My audience are made up of mainly young college students who are gung-ho Ronald Reagan Americans.
There's
a lot different than you are, Mr.
You must have to pay these kids to take that.
Hey,
why would any young kid be for Ronald Reagan?
Because they,
considering the draft coming up and all that kind of stuff.
There's not going to be a draft because they realize that Ronald Reagan stands for morality and decency and dignity.
Oh,
and Ronald Reagan wants to kick racists like you out of the country.
Of course he would, but he can't do that. He's going to have to deal with it.
Ah, yes. That's hang on 1 second. We got Churro. We got Churro, of course, showing up to ruin the show as he always does. I'm gonna play this next clip here. After I put the anti-hum effect on, here we go.
He had the audacity to come on my show, on my great program,
yes.
Hot Seat.
Yes.
And say that Campanis of the L.A. Dodgers was right.
Absolutely. Total free speech. And if Al Campanis feels that way as a free white American, he has every right to say it.
And
so what Campanis, that whole thing's about is, because I looked it up. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? They're talking about Al Campanis, who made these remarks. Look, people that think that canceling is something new are wrong. This is April 6th, 1987, I guess. So this must have aired in 1987. Al Campanis was a general manager for, I don't remember what team, but he said this on Nightline and got canceled for being racist.
Why is it that there are no black managers, no black general managers, no black owners?
Well, Mr. Koppel, there have been some black managers, but I really can't answer that question directly. The only thing I can say is that you have to pay your dues when you become a manager. Generally, you have to go to minor leagues. There's not very much pay involved. And some of the better-known black players have been able to get into other fields and make a pretty good living in that way.
Yeah, but you know in your heart of hearts, and we're going to take a break for a commercial, you know that that's a lot of baloney. I mean, there are a lot of black players, there are a lot of great black baseball men who would dearly love to be in managerial positions. And I guess what I'm really asking you is to, you know, peel it away a little bit. Just tell me, why do you think it is? Is there still that much prejudice in baseball today?
No, I don't believe it's prejudice. I truly believe that they may not have some of the necessities to be, let's say, a field manager or perhaps a general manager.
You really believe that?
Well, I don't say that they're all of them, but they certainly are short.
He's talking about IQ differences. He's saying the obvious, and Ted Koppel is going to try to bait him into saying something stupid, he doesn't say anything stupid. He just says something stupid if you want to keep your job in 1987 about race. But it's something everyone understands, that there are IQ differences between black people and white people. And so the thing that's keeping black people from moving from the baseball field to the office is that they're not as smart.
How many quarterbacks do you have? How many pitchers do you have that are black?
He's already stepped in it. He's now saying that you can't be a black quarterback because that's the brains of the team when you're playing football. Or a pitcher, same thing. He's like, there's just not as many, and there's some, but there's not as many because that's the smart position. That's not the I run like a gorilla towards the other people running like a gorilla and smash into them like a gorilla. This is the I'm using my brain and strategy in real time.
Same thing applies. I got to tell you, that sounds like the same kind of garbage we were hearing 40 years ago about players when they were saying, not really cut out. You remember the days, hit a black football player in the knees and, no, that really sounds like garbage if you forget to say so.
It's not garbage, Mr. Koppel, because I played on a college team and the center fielder was black.
And the Jew owner or whoever that, you can tell he's a Jew. You can tell he's like, ah, fuck. The Jew knows what's going on.
And then the backfield at NYU with the fullback who was black, never knew the difference of whether he was black or white. We were teammates. So it just might be that why are black men or black people not good swimmers? Because they don't have the buoyancy.
It may just be that they don't have access to all the country clubs and the pools.
That must be it, right, Ted Koppel? Well, you know what happened? Bam! I'll show you what happened. Campana's fired for racial slurs. He didn't use racial slurs, but that's what they said. He was canceled. He was fired 2 days later. 2 days later, and he's out of a job for stating the actual truth about something. So now that you understand what they were talking about, Wally George is on the side of firing this guy. Wally George, who was considered like the edgy conservative. This guy wasn't like a Rush Limbaugh. This guy's like the super edgy, I have people come to my studio and there's fights all the time. I'm an ultra-nationalist. Rah, 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 USA, USA. His demographic was, as he said, young, white conservatives, basically. He was the controlled opposition is what it was. He was the controlled opposition. I'll be edgy. I'll say edgy things, but not about Jews and not about black people. I'll keep you from ever touching on the race issue. And in this instance, right, what was so crazy about what that guy said? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. But he got canceled, and Wally George went along with it and then said Tom Metzger was basically the devil for being on the side of the guy that said the reasonable thing.
That first of all, it is really a sickening, disgraceful thing.
Cover the point.
That racists like Metzger have airtime to spread this kind of sickness
reaching
across
over
America.
2.5.
And look, he's trying to deplatform. The guy's on fucking local access. He's on cable access TV, and he's trying to cancel him. He's trying to get him canceled.
Million homes throughout the United States.
But we have,
in their living
but
room.
But we have no, there's no room in America for racists like you. This guy, in case you don't know it.
We're making room.
This guy was the former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
We're making room.
Yeah, but the KKK and your white supremacist party, all you're doing is you are spreading hatred across America.
We're running you phony conservatives out of town.
All
you people want to do is bleed people
and make money
off them.
We're not,
send them into phony wars.
We're not phony conservatives.
Sure,
we are standing up for what America stands for. One nation under God with liberty and justice for all. That means blacks
it's Con Inc. See, this is the black pill. Is realizing this has been the dynamic for years and years and years. And certainly as technology progresses, we have more of a platform, you could say. But I bet Tom Metzger thought the same thing about having access to cable access. He's like, oh, finally I get to be on TV. He said they have 2 million homes. I'm assuming that means they were on, satellite to other cable access stations around the country. Basically the Rumble of 1987. Because I can't be on YouTube. I certainly can't be on like CNN or Fox News. And if you want to be on YouTube, if you want to be on one of those platforms, well, you have to play the game that Wally George plays. Vote Republican. Vote Republican, and we're not racist. You're the bad ones. You're the baddies.
And there's no place,
the Constitution
no
said,
place
Wally.
In the Constitution where it ever said all men are created equal. Do you know that?
Hey,
it's not in there.
One nation under God with liberty and justice for all. That's
also not the Constitution. That's the Pledge of Allegiance that was added, like, I think, what, like the 1950s or something? When was that added? Let's see here. Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, I guess it's older than I thought it was. The under God part came in later. But it was 1892. And then the, let's see here. They added under God in 1954. That's what I was thinking about.
That's our Pledge of Allegiance.
Are you bringing the preachers into it now, like you always do?
No, that's our Pledge of Allegiance.
Like these big shots over here.
Don't you believe in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag?
I have a Pledge of Allegiance to my race, the Aryan race, no matter what country it's in and no matter where you're at.
Based. Now, one of the things that he mentions, and they'll get more into this when we go to the Wally George show, is Metzger understands at the time, just like today, that the Con Inc. leaned heavily on the religious right. The everything from televangelists to just normal Christian churches that agreed with everything that Wally George was saying. That, no, this is for everyone. We're not racist. Get that garbage out of here. We're for everybody.
You aren't even in favor of what Ronald Reagan wants to do with the Contras in Nicaragua.
Of course not, because that's all a money war.
It's none of our business.
It's not
down
a money
war.
It certainly is our money.
Country down
we
there.
We want to save the central a takeover of Central and Latin America by the Soviet Union.
Well, right, we have to determine that. Well, that's not our country.
We are the only bastion of freedom in the entire world.
Come on now.
Oh, and how'd that work out? Oh, it didn't. Ruled by the same regime. Completely failed. The whole Iran-Contra scandal, damaged the Republican Party and the Reagan administration. And failed miserably. But just like today, Iran's making nuclear weapons. Yeah, it was very important that we overthrow the Nicaraguan government, and didn't work out.
Don't you support self-determination of peoples? What business of ours to tell the Nicaraguan people what kind of government they should have?
I'll tell
That's
you.
That's none of our business.
It is. I'll tell you
George
what.
George Washington told us, don't get entangled in these foreign entanglements. Stay at home. We can't even control our
when
own
George
borders.
Washington,
how can we control Nicaragua when we can't even control our own borders?
Oh, look at that. Same exact arguments. Like, literally the exact same arguments. Why are we going in these foreign wars, fighting these foreign wars, when we can't even control our own borders? Why? Because 40 years ago, the same exact problem with illegal immigration existed. People were pouring across the border, and Reagan was pandering to Mexicans and gave them amnesty. So, same exact fucking issues. Same exact fucking problems.
Where the threat is in this country, it's trying to walk the streets of these cities at night in some of these ghettos and being attacked. The communists aren't
hurting
people.
What's wrong with this country?
We're not being attacked by Nicaraguan communists. We're being attacked in the streets by gangs of non-white thugs.
Oh, there you go, hitting the
That's
blacks
right.
again.
Well,
are you gonna
there
say
are just as many
convoy?
white thugs and criminals as there are blacks.
You sure about that?
Yeah, and just lying. Just straight up lying. There's just as many white dogs as black dogs. No, no. There's not, though. Not at all. And the same argument. You know, the guy, I forget the name of the guy who's on the panel there with Metzger, but he mentions, no, just look at the FBI statistics. Same arguments. It's the same arguments. So the white nationalist is like, look at the FBI statistics. And Wally George is like, oh, I love black people.
Ronald Reagan has been called a racist by punks like you and this idiot.
Ronald Reagan a racist? That's a joke.
Well, you have said he's a racist.
I never said he's a racist. No. I never voted for him and never would vote for him. He's just a two-bit Hollywood actor that made a good deal.
He is probably the greatest president we've ever had in the history of the United States of America.
Yeah, just swap out Trump. It's the same bullshit. By the way, the foreshadowing, the Spurg Nazis over that flip out here in a second. But say, yeah, literally the exact same arguments. Con Inc., you know, saying that, this is the greatest president of all time. You know, he's fixing everything. And you're just a racist. And we need to invade other countries for the Jews.
Ronald Reagan stands for what made America great. Ronald Reagan stands for morality.
Oh. I mean, almost, you know, the funny thing is, he didn't say make America great again, but that was Ronald Reagan's, one of his campaign slogans. That was stolen. Trump stole it. Like, I have a video compilation that I made from all these newspaper ads. I don't have it handy. It's on my Telegram somewhere. But if you look up Make America Great Again in the newspaper archives during Reagan's first campaign, there's full page ad after full page ad using that slogan, and Reagan using that slogan in speeches, like word for word, Make America Great Again, because he ran on the exact same platform for the exact same reasons, because white America was like, what the fuck's going on? White America was like that guy trying to fix the deck that the Mexicans fucked up. Saying the country's going to shit. We're letting all these Mexicans in. This isn't what we signed up for. What the hell's going on? Why don't we have control of our border? Why do we have all this money and resources to go to Nicaragua, but we don't have any resources somehow to protect our border? And it's because they don't want to. Every time you see one of these military operations overseas in Iran or elsewhere, that is them proving to you that they could control the border any time they wanted to. They just don't want to. Because in all of those instances, they're not formally declaring war. Trump's not declaring war. This isn't going through Congress. This is unilateral. And he could just as easily do the same thing with the border with Mexico, and doesn't, because he doesn't want to. And no president ever has, because they haven't wanted to. So nothing's changed 40 fucking years later.
Decency, uh-huh. For dignity, yeah. For
bringing in AIDS and Haitians,
no
and
way.
Bringing in He's Asians and bringing them all.
I mean, literally, it's the same people. Bringing in Haitians, bringing in Asians. That's right, Churro. Bringing in Churro and his Negroid family.
All in.
That's Jimmy Carter.
He's doing it too, and giving the illegal aliens all kinds of rope, bringing them here, makes this phony deal, phony new immigration laws, and they're going to undercut him.
Ronald Reagan is totally against.
He's for the Mexican vote. He's out for the get the
Ronald
Mexican
Reagan
vote.
Is against the illegal aliens, as I am, but that doesn't.
Well, why don't he get them out of the country?
Because he doesn't want to. That's why. And so again, it's like Groundhog's Day.
He's on here because he thinks that he's a good American trying to do what's good for you. I know the real reason you're doing this program is because you're trying to spread your hatred, racism, and bigotry across America.
Who's the hater here?
Well, I'm amazed that any station, any cable outlet would let you, spread your poison in America.
You know what we're doing today? We're exposing the great white hoax.
Again, he's trying to cancel him. He's trying to influence cable companies, tell them not to carry him because he's spreading hate. And, yeah, Metzger is saying the same thing. You know, he's the great white hoax. I mean, this is the same thing white nationalists. I mean, they don't use maybe that same exact terminology, but that's what they say. You know, you have your controlled opposition.
Against all the minorities, blacks, Mexicans, and Jews.
No,
you know
right.
you are.
We're the best friend of the minorities.
Hold on. Well, wait a minute.
Hate the Jews.
Wait a minute. You
hate the Jews.
Hold it. How can you say if someone is for their race that they're opposed to other races?
Why?
Now, how do you equate that?
Because he said it on my show.
I want to give blacks the right of self-determination.
But you've opposed.
You want to keep them to work for you,
don't you? No, I don't.
Yes, a conservative. Yes,
no,
a boss.
You want segregation.
You would have been
segregation. You told me on your show.
Separation, Wally. That's different than segregation.
The same thing.
You would have been a slave owner in the South. You would have been a slave owner.
Absolutely not.
Not me.
This is, unfortunately, where Metzger kind of optics cucks. A little bit. You should just embrace segregation, because what he's advocating for, as I have in the clip, is racial segregation. He's just trying to like dress it up, probably because segregation was fresh in the minds of boomers, you know, from the civil rights movement, and it just had like a bad name, like apartheid or something like that. And so for him to say he supports segregation would play into this caricature that they had created of him as the former Grand Dragon of the KKK, the Southern racist guy, right? So that's why he seems allergic to that whole terminology. But it's still bad. Like it just goes to prove it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. Just lean into it and be like, yeah, yep. Yep, I'm for segregation. I mean, I guess that's one lesson that I think at least some white nationalists are starting to figure out.
You said on my show that you wanted the blacks separated from the whites.
That's
isn't that
not
true?
Segregation,
that's
true. Wally.
But that's to give them self-determination.
Oh.
See, again, he's trying to rebrand it, but he is, you know, it's the word, I think, that just, you know, it's an optics move, and it just, I don't know. I don't like it.
They have the right to live right next door to you, Metzger, whether you like it or not. They have the same rights you do.
Let's talk.
Live next door to you,
that's
Wally.
Talking capitalism. How many blacks live next door to you, Wally?
I would be proud to have a black.
Oh,
are
he
there
doesn't, does he?
Are there any blacks?
They could move if they wanted to. I happen to live in the San Fernando Valley.
If they could afford to live where you live.
Some of my closest friends happen to be blacks.
I had a lot of black friends, by the way, and played football and everything.
It's funny because you can tell he even then, that was a meme. He did the meme. That's Metzger's look of, dude, you just did the meme. You just did the meme of you have a black friend. Again, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed, people. I'm sorry, it just hasn't. And when people think that, you know, oh, we're making real strides, it's like, eh. You know, like you gotta know where, you know, the history of this. Look, not to say that no progress has been made. I'm not saying that. There has been progress made, and people should be proud of that. But at the same time, it's like this dynamic has existed for 40 fucking years, more than that.
I believe black nationalists can stand on their own and build a nation.
How do you define?
You don't.
Well, how do you
because
define,
you're like a white liberal.
How do you define
separation?
You don't
think blacks have got it.
Now, this is an old argument, right? This is the soft bigotry of low expectations argument. That it doesn't work. And I think it was an attempted 40 chess move from white nationalists. They thought to themselves, well, conservatives, they feel white guilt. They don't want to be called racist and they feel white guilt. So maybe we can Jedi mind trick them into supporting segregation if we tell them that actually you're the real racist if you don't support segregation, because then you're saying that black people are incapable of running their own society. When it's not going to work because, yeah, no shit, everyone actually thinks that. Liberals think that too. Black people think that. That's why they don't go back to Africa. It's something that people don't say unless they're white nationalists, but it's something that is so true that only the most deluded retards don't understand that, yes, if you were to actually have segregation, if you were to actually hand a couple of states over to black people and say, here you go, niggers, run Wakanda, that it would go to shit almost immediately, that it would be terrible. It'd be so bad that we'd probably have to go to war with them within like the first year and conquer them again. It would just be a fucking nightmare. Everyone fucking knows that. So it's not a Jedi mind trick to say to conservatives, oh, you're the real racist because you don't think they can run. No, because you don't think that either. You know, for the same reason, you know, in a way, it's kind of like why, you know, the parody of Alex Jones doesn't work when it's people that just hate him and they're just trying to shit on him because they hate him. It's because they're not being honest. And comedy requires honesty. And in this exchange here, not that it's comedy, although some might argue that, when you're arguing for something like this, it also requires honesty, and it falls just as flat as a dishonest joke when you use a dishonest argument. Your little mind trick isn't going to work. The reason why it works for Jews is they have institutional backing, and they can repeat the lie over and over and over again on TV and movies, with academics, with other politicians. And it requires that constant reinforcement of the lie, because the second that reinforcement goes away, then everyone realizes it was a lie. Well, we don't have access to that. So we can't really lean on lies to try to trick people into seeing things our way, because it's a lie. And we don't have an army of propagandists reinforcing the fucking lie and reprogramming the lie in their head 24 hours a day. So it doesn't work. But that was an argument that was ineffective for that reason. And Metzger's trying to use that argument that, like, oh, I actually care the most about blacks. No, you don't. And just be honest, you don't. That's not the point. It doesn't matter that their society would fall apart. It's not your problem. It's not your responsibility to sit there and babysit fucking black people till the end of time, because that's what it's going to take. I mean, that's the argument. The argument is, oh, I'm sorry. So I guess for the next 50,000 fucking years or more, all of my descendants, all white people, until basically the end of time, we are going to have to babysit the rest of the world, and we're going to have to be responsible for them, and we're going to have to be victimized by them forever for no reason. That's the argument. The argument is, no, we don't have to do that. We in no way have that responsibility. And so if their society crumbles and falls to pieces in a whether you were to give them a couple of states or send them back to Africa or whatever, that doesn't matter. Who cares? Fuck them. And see, this is where I have a problem with universalism. Because that's when universalism rears its ugly head. That every single time, this is where that universal empathy that so many white people have backfires, blows up on our face, fucks us over, and is leading to our extinction. What's good for white people isn't what's good for black people. Simple as that. It doesn't matter if their society crumbles. It doesn't matter if they end up going back to the Bronze Age. Fuck them. They're not us. We're not all God's children. We are white people and we're responsible for our family, not theirs.
Got it.
What is separation in your mind? What would you do to the blacks?
Total separation.
How? How?
The blacks, the whites, we need to sit down and decide on territorial division of
North
America.
So give them their own state?
Sure.
Oh, now, come on, Mr.
Two or three states.
Who do you think you are to dictate your culture to the
blacks? Don't they have the right to
sell? This is America. They have the right to live wherever they want to live. They're as much American as you are.
What if the blacks
want a separate state? That's the rich man's term. You know why you want them. You know why you want the illegal aliens. You know why
I don't want the illegal aliens.
You fat cats have always wanted them.
No.
To make money.
You want separation from the blacks because you despise them because you think you are superior
to
the blacks.
You think you're superior to impose your culture on them.
They
how do you know what they want? Why? How can you speak?
They want to live wherever they want to live.
You're so far removed from the streets. You don't have no idea what those people
want. I have talked to many blacks, and they say nobody has the right to tell them where they can live and where they cannot live.
That's what the federal government's doing now.
See, it's just that this is what happens when you try to play this game. It's just like, no, there's just not a universal standard of living that everyone has a right to. Blacks are not the same, really, species. They're not entitled to the same things that my descendants laid the groundwork for. They're entitled to what their descendants are able to produce and leave for them. And that's the way that the world worked until very fucking recently. So it's just a losing battle trying to like say, oh, I care about what's good for black people. No, you don't. And why? Who cares? I don't care. I don't fucking care. That's why it's also a stupid reason when you see white nationalists try to take the side of the Palestinians out of some... like beyond humanitarian angle, right? Or when they try to side with other non-whites to team up against with other non-whites to defeat the Jews. I mean, they'll never be able to define what that means exactly. They'll never tell you, well, what do you mean by defeat the Jews? Like what's the goal? Like at what point are you like, okay, the Jews are defeated. And then what, you just turn on the people that helped you defeat the Jews? Like, is that what step of the plan is that, right? So, like, after, you know, you team up with the Nigs and the Mexicans and the Palestinians or whatever, and you, quote-unquote, defeat the Jews, then what? You know? And do they not know this? Are you just being, like, a sneaky fuck? You know, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And so, just be honest. Say no. You're not my responsibility. You know, to the degree that maybe if there are instances where I can use other groups that are going to fight my enemies for me, sure, I guess if those kinds of opportunities exist, but we're not teaming up. You're not on my team. I have no responsibility. Stop feeling like you have a responsibility for other people.
Wait a minute, big mouth. Just shut your big fat mouth.
I'm talking
here now, pal.
Nazi spurg out!
Listen, pal.
Nazi spurg out! Oh, the Nazi spurg out! I don't have like a Nazi spurg out button. I was going to make one. I forgot to make a Nazi spurg out button. So yeah, the Nazi spurg out went ape shit because... they called it. Let's see that again.
Wait a minute, big mouth. Just shut your big fat mouth.
I'm talking here now, pal.
Hold on.
Watch it. This is our show. Listen, pal.
They're just like, motherfucker, what? Now, the reason why they're all fucking pissed off is you'll see later. This didn't just come out of nowhere. They fucking hate this guy for a reason, and not just for the reasons that we've already seen.
Morning, you stupid idiot.
Sit down, Wally.
You're stupid.
You're not on your show.
Don't try that. Hold on, Don.
You're not on our show.
Now, you get your damn ass
out
of here.
Hey, watch your language on this show, pal.
I'm not going to have this kind of activity.
You just watch your language on this show.
Shut your mouth and sit down.
Sit down, you idiot. You don't tell me where to sit down. It's our show. This is our show.
I don't need to be here.
All right, no, look.
Get you guys out of here.
One more.
All right, get down.
One more thing like that. Security is going to be removing you, huh? You understand?
Sit down.
You understand that?
Sit your...
You know, grab things.
Watch it. You don't fall off the stage.
Sure. You're stupid, swastika-laden idiots.
Let's get...
Stupid, swastika-laden idiots. Now, again, you'll see why very quickly here that took place.
And when history is written, years from now, long after you and I are gone, I hope you're gone a hell of a lot longer short than I am. Long after we're gone, history will record Ronald Reagan as the great leader of our time.
Oh, sure. If you're Con Inc, you can't shut up about Reagan. In fact, a lot of Democrats now like to talk about how awesome Reagan was as far as living as long. Well, you lost that one, Wally. See, Wally died at age 71 in 2003, and Tom Metzger died an older man at age 82. He lived 11 years longer and died in 2020. So, sorry, Wally, you lost that, and your prediction about Reagan also not so much, unless, of course, you are some MAGA faggot. And, you know, you're part of the problem, unless you're just basically the new version of you. So this is his show, one of the shows that Metzger was on. This is his show, and you can tell right away, by the way, why he exists, because he'll tell you. He'll tell you why he exists. This is him introing his guests to his audience, who is very similar to a MAGA audience that would be very upset with a person like me, as an example. Like if I were to go to a TPUSA event or a Trump rally, and I were just to say what I thought that we should do with black people and Jews, I would get booed. I would get booed, and they would, and maybe even violently attack me. And so this is the same kind of a crowd. This is a MAGA crowd.
We have Tom Metzger, former Grand Dragon of the KKK. And he is meeting for the first time, eyeball to eyeball, Irv Rubin of the Jewish Defense League.
Well, you know, a little mixed on Irv Rubin, at least for the audience, but that's because the audience, of course, because Tom Metzger was there, is packed full of actual Nazis and KKK members and various other white nationalist groups that came to see him. But it's also packed full of Jews and JDL supporters. Rubin is literally a Jewish terrorist. The JDL was a terrorist organization that carried out bombings and assassinations on American soil. FBI, for some reason, didn't go all crazy on them. I mean, I haven't heard of a lot of white nationalist groups conducting assassinations and blowing up pipe bombs and shit in the offices of their enemies. But that's what the JDL was doing. And, you know, so you had a literal terrorist on your show. And Wally George tells you exactly that whose side he's on.
And I felt that before you see this program tonight, that I should have the opportunity to talk to each and every one of you in your homes. This program you're about to see is probably the most provocative and the most educational, truly educational show that I have ever been involved in my 35 years of broadcasting on television and radio. This is a program where we bring together two men. They each have heated points of view. One man is very, very right. One man is very, very wrong. If you've been watching me over the years, you know what side I'm on.
on the side of the Jews. For those of you who haven't been watching his show, he's on the side of the Jews. So he brought, in fact, during this very educational, very provocative show that he did, the Jew almost doesn't have to talk. Wally George, the white conservative, white Christian conservative, and I'm not saying that as an insult. He was very much tied into the white Christian conservative movement at the time, and actually had a lot of Christian leaders on his show. That was part of his shtick, just like with MAGA, you know, with Paula Weitz and all the all these other psychos that go and pray at the White House. He was involved in that world and running cover for Jews. See, it's very much like Jerry Springer, you know, like Jerry. This was like I said, this is where a lot of that stuff originated.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Now, we had a little kind of upheaval in the studio during that last break, but I think we got everybody calmed down now, we hope. This is going to be a volatile program.
It is going to be a volatile program because the Jewish terrorists keeps physically attacking the white people. Now, they edit the footage so you don't actually see that he's the one instigating most of the time. They can't edit some of it out, but they literally edit it out so you don't get to see that the Jew is the one instigating. And the reason why they had those two Nazi guys on their set was basically payback for Wally George having his security guards manhandling them in their studio when they were getting attacked by a fucking Jewish terrorist.
I know these two people are volatile individuals, and I'm going to introduce them. Now I'm going to ask you both, please, do not leave your seat. We have our guards here, and if anybody gets out of their seats, you're going to be put down in your seat. Please, no violence from either one of you.
How
okay?
about you? Where's your guard?
I'm not going to get violent unless you get violent with me, buddy, and then I'll get violent with you.
Yeah. All right.
Now, wait a minute. Let's introduce these people. First of all, the former Grand Dragon of the KKK, Tom Metzger. It's right here on my right. And over here on my left is the leader of the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, Erg Rubin.
Boy to the fucking bang. Look at that. Fucking super Jew face. So again, the Jew almost doesn't have to talk because the entire show is Wally George, the white Christian guy, attacking the white nationalists for the Jew.
You think that you are far superior to the black race, do you not?
I think whites are genetically superior to the black race.
You also have a very low regard for the Jews, do you not, Tom?
A lot of Jews, yes.
Why?
If you mean compare whether it's him or whether it's the makeup girl, there's two different things here. Him, yes, because he doesn't represent Jews. Are you kidding?
What about Israel in general?
Are you kidding? Does he represent Jews? The big leader of the JDL, Mark Ohani, had a meeting in New York in the hotel Sunday. They had 100 people there or less.
Listen.
Most of them were old people, and they only took up $700 in donations, and half of that was going to be to go out and do what? Bus in people to wreck Jesse Jackson's house in Chicago. The other half was supposed to go to Israel to get these guys that put the bombs on the Arab buses and killed all those people out of jail.
You're accusing him of this?
Sure.
Irv Rubin answered.
He's tied into it.
Go ahead, Irv.
First of all, it's not worthy of a comment. Tom Metzger claims he's
By the way, Irv Rubin does not answer a single charge or question the entire show. Like the handful of opportunities or moments when someone asks him a question or levies a charge against him, not once, not even a little bit, does he answer. Not once, and doesn't have to, because Wally George is happy to run cover for him.
With the Ku Klux Klan, Tommy's lying. Last December, he was caught red-handed burning three 20-foot crosses in the San Fernando Valley. For all the viewers out there who are listening to this rabble, this idiot here, rest assured, Tommy Metzger wakes up in the middle of the night and takes the sheets with him, point blank.
Any comment, Tom?
I go where I want to and associate who I want to. I don't ask the Canadian Jew where I go. I associate with all white nationalists, no matter what they belong to. Yeah. And I don't ask Irv Rubin where to go.
So you admit
I could tell him where to go.
You admit that you have been involved in the burning of crosses, have you not?
No. I have been present when there was a ceremony performed, yeah.
Now, look at that fucking Jew face. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine just sitting across the table from that? Holy shit. Anyway, the context for what they're talking about is at this point, Metzger was no longer the head of the KKK. He ran his own white nationalist organization and was trying to basically unite them, unite the different groups. So as he associated with Nazi groups, even though he wasn't a National Socialist. He associated with the KKK, which he was formerly the head of, even though he was no longer associated with them. And not just because out of some optic move, because he changed his views. The KKK was a Christian organization, and Tom Metzger started to view Christianity as a obstacle, really. And so he was trying to have like a secular group that would include, Christian groups like the KKK, actual National Socialist groups like the Nazi Party, skinheads, whatever. He was trying to unite all the different white nationalist groups. So, of course, because most white Americans at home, they know what the KKK is because of all the Jewish movies and TV shows and, all the whatever. Just like with David Duke, who hasn't been associated with the KKK for like a billion years. David Duke, if he's ever invited on anything, that's the David Duke, former head of the KKK. It never goes away. It never goes away. So that's what that's all about. He was, and what they're talking about specifically is, he was at a cross lighting that happened in California within like a couple weeks of this interview, I guess. And the cops went and arrested a bunch of them. I don't know what the outcome was, but,
You do not support this country's financial support of Israel, do you?
No.
And again, same thing, same problem. White nationalists point out that we're sending money to Israel. We shouldn't be sending any money to Israel. And, Wally George, the conservative, is just like, how racist of you to not want to give Jews money.
You do not support this country's financial support of Israel, do you?
No, $24 billion to Israel since its inception. And here are the United States people out of work, manufacturing companies losing the country. And here again, I agree with Jesse Jackson. We need that money right here for the American working people.
What you're trying to evade, Tom, hold on. What you're trying to evade is my question, is you'd really have a deep hatred for the Jews in general, don't you? You don't like Jews. Just answer me, yes or no. You don't like Jews.
The ones that are my enemies, no, I don't like.
They're all your enemies, Tom.
Do you have any Jews?
There's not one Jew who's
your friend.
How
about Lilienthal in his book, The Zionist Connection? He's a Jew, isn't
he? I'm sure he wouldn't shake hands with you either,
Tom. He tells how rotten you JDL people and how you shoot at people in the alley and beat up people and try to break their legs, things like that.
All right. We have some more questions. Right back, don't go away.
Oh, yes. You hate Jews. You're a Jew hater. You just fucking hate Jews. So they have, notice how the Jew hasn't had to say much. Wally George is all up in his face the entire time.
I want to ask you this. What are your thoughts of Adolf Hitler? Did you admire him? Did you think he was a great man or what?
A lot of things he said and did, I agree.
Same questions, right? This is it's the same tricks. It's the same fucking tricks. Oh, you used to be the head of the KKK. Oh, you don't like Israel? You're anti-Semitic. Oh, you think Hitler was kind of a good guy?
I want to ask you this. What are your thoughts
of Adolf Hitler? Did you admire him? Did you think he was a great man or what?
A lot of things he said and did I agreed with. A lot of things he said and did I don't agree with.
All in all...
I mean, I feel that way about all great world leaders. I mean, there's some things I agree with and some...
Wait a minute.
What are about you... Begin, this
Wait
butcher Begin over here? Ask him
Too
about
bad he
him.
Didn't butcher you.
You're butchering all the Palestinians and so
Wait,
forth.
Wait, but how about the whole...
You may be next.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You heard that right here.
Hey, listen.
See, he's a terrorist, literally threatening violence. Wally George doesn't even look over him. Doesn't even say, like, hey, maybe don't threaten to murder the other guest. Nope, doesn't matter because he's on Team Jew. He's talking about Begin, who's literally an Israeli Jewish terrorist. Same, by the way, you'll notice, same exact issues. They're slaughtering Palestinians because that's what Jews have been doing since they showed up.
Did you believe that Adolf Hitler was a great leader, a great man?
He was a world leader, there's no doubt.
But was he a great man in your eyes?
He was a great leader, just like Farrakhan said. However,
and you think he had the right?
Look, I don't agree with everything Hitler said.
But most of
I'm not. If I did, I'd be a national socialist. I'm not
a
national
socialist. But you do agree with the
way... I know one thing.
You are a national
We're not going to allow a small group of Jews to destroy this country.
Why don't you admit it?
A small group of Jews.
You are a
These people have no idea of your terrorist background. They think you're a poor little picked on Jewish boy.
Would you...
By the way, that Jew said, "Oh, you're basically a communist." It's horseshoe theory. I'm telling you, it hasn't changed. His arguments when he does say anything, which isn't very often because the host is doing his job for him, he keeps bringing up because this worked with unsophisticated conservatives back home. Unsophisticated conservatives who might think to themselves, "This guy kind of makes sense." This guy makes sense. What he said about, for example, Israel, you know, that we shouldn't be sending these billions of dollars to a foreign country when we have people at home that are struggling. Notice how that got applause. Almost nothing else that he said really got applause, but that line got applause because that made sense to people. Well, what's the solution if you're the Jews? Well, you do what does MAGA always blame everything on? Not blacks, not Jews, what? The Democrats. The Democrats. So just call him a Democrat. Call him a leftist. Call him a communist. It's like when you're on Twitter and you criticize, like, we're like so far to the right of Trump, most of us, that we can't even see where Trump is because he's not on the right at all. But you say something on Twitter about Trump, and funny enough, even if the context is him not being right wing enough, you get some fucking bot or some, you know, some AI MAGA boomer or some real MAGA boomer in your replies saying, "Oh, you a Democrat? You like Joe Biden?" And so that it's the same tricks worked back then. They just create this horseshoe theory. It's like the James Lindsay theory, right? He's the woke right. He's the woke right. You're an actual communist. And because these MAGA boomers are so programmed to not see anything racially, they avoid race like the fucking plague. Now they're suddenly comfortable. Now they can hate this guy because he's one of them Democrats. He's a communist. And it takes the uncomfortable topic of race completely out of the equation. So this is something that, you know, he throws out, like I said, in the very few moments that he says anything, while Wally George berates him.
Hold on. Tom Metzger, would you consider yourself to be a Nazi?
No.
Of course you are.
I'm Tom Metzger.
But you believe in the Nazi...
I'm Tom Metzger.
You believe in the Nazi philosophy.
What's a Nazi philosophy?
Anti-Jew.
Anti-Jew?
Mainly.
The Jews are a problem, that's for sure.
Why are they
not
a problem?
Not all Jews.
Why are they a
this
problem?
This man's not a problem.
Why are Jews
because
a...
he could take self-criticism.
Right.
This guy, anybody who criticizes Israel is an anti-Semite
you only
Nazi.
One...
See, same thing. Anyone who criticizes Israel is an anti-Semite Nazi. And again, Metzger, I mean, he's being reasonable. He's like, not every single Jew, like this Jew wrote basically, what book is that, by the way? It's not The Lobby, is it? I can't see what book that is. The something connection? The Dante, it almost looks like the Dante or Dante or I don't know. Anyone in chat know the answer to that? Let's see if I can figure out the name of that book. The blank. It's not the Israeli connection. That might be Zionist. I don't know. Maybe it is the Zionist connection. It might be, actually. The Zionist connection. Let me see if I can find a book cover that looks like that. The Zionist connection. This might be the Zionist connection. Written by... Alfred Lilienthal, maybe? Let's see if I can see a book. Yeah, there we are. It is The Zionist Connection by Alfred M. Lilienthal. Some reason copies of it, maybe it's out of print because copies of it are like $200. I don't know. Anyway, that's the book they're talking about.
Why do you say Jews are a problem? Why do you say that?
Well,
because they are? I mean... What are you talking about?
When you find that out of 380 gentlemen that formed the first Politburo in Russia after the revolution, 300 of them were Jews. Karl Marx was Jew. The whole communist concept was created by the Jews. Now you find them also playing the other side of the street, capitalism. And that's what you're talking about, coming together. The capitalists run the communists. You're always talking about that, right?
All right.
Well, let's find out about who's really behind it. I mean, who were these people?
No, that's the question that the MAGA boomers never want the answer to. They always like to say they or them or the deep state. They don't want to actually know who exactly they don't want to get specific about who these people are.
Who was Trotsky? Was he Jew or was he?
If you had your way, and I know this to be true,
Marx.
If you had your way, you would take every Jew in America and every black in America and ship them off the shores.
I'm not taking anybody.
Would you like all the Jews?
I stand up for free speech for everybody, including this creep.
Sure you do. Hey, wait, who are you pointing at, him or me?
All of you.
Oh, burn. Burn. Did you just call him a Jew? Yeah, basically. He is one at this point.
You are based on hatred, Tom, and you know you are.
Oh, baloney.
Hatred of blacks and hatred of Jews.
Oh, no. It's counterproductive.
Well, what do you
if
think
there is an obstacle, you must overcome it.
What do you think of the Holocaust?
Hatred has nothing to do with it. That's a waste of
what
time.
What do you think of Hitler's Holocaust?
I don't believe in the Holocaust.
Based, but also, of course, obviously has to bring up the Holocaust. No, again, the Jew hasn't said anything. The Jew's just sitting there while his pet goy... does all the mouth flapping. And he hits all... why would he have to say anything? His pet goy is hitting all the talking points. First he says KKK, then he says Hitler, then he says Nazi, then he says you hate black people. Now he's saying the Holocaust. I mean, it's like never ending.
There was no Holocaust.
There were 55 million people died in World War II. And even if there were 6 million Jews, how come we don't cry for all the people that died in World War II? How come they have a special building in Washington and buildings in L.A. only to talk, and they get very upset if the Armenians want to get into the act or all these other people that have had genocide against them?
Yeah.
They always get upset. They only want you to concentrate on their supposed Holocaust.
Well, how do you answer that?
Which I think is a phony.
You know, it's not worthy of a comment. I just wish to God he were right. I wish there wasn't a Holocaust.
Oh, my God. I just wish there wasn't a Holocaust. Ooh. I mean, it's the same fucking shit. Literally, like I said, this could be today. This could be today. I mean, it's cringe and, you know, it's primitive in some ways. But it's the exact same talking points. It's the same arguments. It's the same hang-ups with white people having the same exact fucking hang-ups that they have today. The same problems with getting white people to think racially exist. The same fucking Jewish influence is still there.
Questioner, come right up. Have your first name and ask your question.
Right, John, I'd like to ask Mr. Metzger, if he considers himself a Christian, how can he justify destroying Christian symbols like the cross, when to them the cross is nothing but a symbol of racism and hatred? And also, how can he be a Christian and say he hates Jews when Jesus Christ himself was a Jew?
Oof. No comment. Oof.
How can he be a Christian and say he hates Jews when Jesus Christ himself was a Jew?
I am not a Christian, but I associate. Wait a minute. Come on back here. I want to answer you.
Stay there and answer.
Now, and so I feel I'm qualified to speak for these gentlemen, that it is a religious ceremony that they were going through, and they were all in
prayer.
You were
there, Tommy.
They were all in prayer.
You were there.
I stood there watching it, writing an article for our paper.
That's why you're on trial today.
Now, that was a religious thing. Now, if you were there, you would have seen it was a religious thing. Not what the papers say, not what the Jew-controlled papers in this town say, but what really happened.
Wait a minute, what Jew-controlled papers?
It couldn't have been just a religious ceremony. It had to be a Christian ceremony because the cross represents the Christian faith.
And a blazing cross has been a symbol of Christianity from Scotland.
You never burn a Christian cross. Never.
Go to Scotland in the summer into Scottish games. You'll see them fire the cross every year. That's dumb. That's Jewish propaganda.
So what he's saying is, yeah, the KKK is a Christian organization. That's why they do it. They call it lighting the cross. They're not. That is Jewish propaganda. It to scare Christians away from the KKK. They would say that they hate Jesus. Look, they're burning crosses because they hate Jesus. And that's not the case. It's a religious thing. Like they're honoring the cross in their way. Look, whatever you think of it. That's the whole point of it. It's literally a Christian organization. And what I was curious, what he mentioned the Scottish thing, and I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? And apparently there is a Scottish ceremony of the fiery cross, and I found footage of it. It's not like the KKK. They're not burning, you know, like big ass crosses, but they do have, I guess, I don't know if it's still the same today, because the only footage I could find was from 1947. But they have some kind of athletic event where they are lighting crosses on fire. Let's see here. Yeah, see? So this is what he's talking about. So, yeah, it's not always, you know, his point was, you know, if you're burning a cross, it's not like because you hate Jesus, but that's what you were told. I was told that when I was a kid. Look at that. They're burning crosses because they hate Jesus. So, I mean, look, they probably hate that. Look, that cross is upside down. Oh my God. He hates Jesus. So that's what he was talking about. I was just like, oh, it's interesting. I didn't know anything about this. So anyway, going back to this. Oh, whoops. I gotta unmute it.
Christian religion is selling us down a river myself, but I still have Christian friends.
Wait a minute, you believe that Christian...
awfully white of you.
Wait, let's stop on it. You believe the Christian religion is selling us down the river?
99%.
Why do you say that?
99% of organized churches are fakes and money-grabbing con games.
Oh, come on!
Now, look, to be fair, what organized, because he's saying organized, what organized Christian religion is pro-white? You can say Christian identity. I guess they're probably like the small outlier. But in terms of, you know, whether you're talking about Lutherans or Catholics or Mormons or, you know, pick one. They're all anti-racist. They're all anti-racist and they're all universalists. And that's what he's pointing out. And Wally George had a close relationship with scumbag TV evangelists, which were like a plague during this era. I mean, it was a fucking plague. I mean, it's still pretty bad, right? We still have, I mean, Paula White, for fuck's sake. We still have that kind of thing going on, but it was like out of fucking hand in the mid-80s.
Get off. Well, I know you love it, boy.
How can you possibly say that?
I can say it. They've got millions, man, these churches. Why don't they give it to the poor and spread it around?
They are spreading the love of God. And for you, a person like you, to cast a finger
Give their own money and get off television.
And by the way, that's true. Even of like, you know, like the Mormons, right? They do a lot of charity work, but they have, I mean, an estimated maybe even $1 trillion. I mean, they have a lot of fucking money. How much money does the fucking Vatican have? You know what I mean? Like, people want to, you know, you want to solve poverty. I kind of feel like if the established Christian religions got together, they could probably do that overnight.
They're spreading the love of God. And for you, a person like you, to cast a finger and to
let them give their own money and get off television and quit rapping the public.
You are not worthy of shining the shoes of anybody who is preaching the word of God on television.
It's burning on the inside of you, and you need to make a vow of faith of $1,000. Oh, Bob, couldn't you say 25? No! You can't see what's not seen until you let go of what is seen. And that's, I'm talking about your money, because your money is you. It's your blood, it's your sweat, your tears, it's driving down the freeways, it's going to work, it's believing, it's you. Thank you, Lord. You say you want to make a $500 vow? Then do it. Then do it. If that takes faith for you, do it. You want to make a $100 vow or two? If that takes faith, see, I like $1,000. Because I know I got you. I got you into faith. See, I'm teaching to enter into a covenant with God when Jacob had nothing.
You know, I've owned 3 different jets in my life, and I used them and just burning them up for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Televangelist Jesse Duplantis says God himself told him it's time for an upgrade.
He said, I want you to believe me for a Falcon 7X. So I said, okay.
A Falcon 7 jet like this one to preach to more people around the world. And he's asking his followers for the $54 million.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey.
Right now, someone is about to send you that $1 million check in the name of Jesus. You just simply need to be obedient. Whether it's $100,000, whether it's $10,000, it's going to be wonderful that you have your plaque. This is beautiful. I was blown away because I was like, he's going to think I stole some of my stuff from him. Because God's been downloading several things that are so similar. Seriously. And you have got to right now become one of those pillars, become one of those people, whether it's the $10,000 or the $1,000. And with all due respect, as great as that name is going to be left there, there's a greater name that's going to be written. Every treasure you give here on earth is being stored up in heaven. There is a department of treasury in heaven.
Well, that's good. There's a department of treasury in heaven. You'll get it back, I guess. Just let Jesus hang on to that $10,000. Yeah. You'll get it when you go to heaven. It'll pay for, it's the down payment on your mansion in heaven. I mean, how many people out there are willing to pay, you know, Mormons pay 10% of their income before taxes, by the way, to a church that's got $1 trillion, and are they putting money towards the survival of their race? No. I mean, I'm sure some are, obviously. But you know, something to think about. And look, there are just straight up charlatans. There are just straight up charlatans like Paula White, and she has a place at the table at the White House.
I have a question for Mr. Rubin. Mr. Rubin, the U.S. Secret Service has recently released information concerning the assassination. In fact, they were going to assassinate Jackson and Farrakhan. We know about the differences the JDL has had with both Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson and the attempts that you've made on terrorizing him. Is this JDL going to assassinate Farrakhan and Jackson?
Identify yourself.
The audience doesn't know, Mr. Evans, who's also a Ku Klux Klan leader, who was also arrested at the cross burning last December 15th.
Yes, sir, I was practicing.
Jesse Jackson,
as guaranteed
Jesse Jackson
by the Constitution of the United States.
Know that the Ku Klux Klan is in here supporting him.
So there you go. He doesn't even answer the question about whether or not he's going to assassinate people. He doesn't answer a single question. This Jew does not even when asked if he's going to assassinate Farrakhan, doesn't answer the question, instead just says, this guy's in the KKK. This guy's in the KKK. But surely he says afterwards, right, that, oh, and also we're not going to assassinate Farrakhan, right? Nope.
Well, he has a sane position on the Middle East, not to see us embroiled in a big war over there and get more Americans killed for these people, these parasites in Israel.
Okay. Oh, you're such a punk.
Come on.
You're such a punk. Don't you ever call parasites, man.
Hold on.
You punk. You're all wet, Metzger.
Big shot, Jew.
Let's keep it down now. We can't have violence on this. Irv, come on. We got to cut
this
out.
That's your style.
You're all wet,
we
Metzger.
We cannot have violence on this program.
You just had it.
Take this. Now, listen.
So that's why that's part of why those Nazis were spurging out, because of course he wanted violence. And of course he wasn't going to throw the Jew out for being violent. In fact, when the Jew is violent later on, he throws out Metzger, not the Jew. So this guy asks a question. Again, doesn't get answered.
Your question, please.
Irvin, you are a perfect example of your race. My question is...
Wait, what does that mean? What does that mean? A perfect example of your race?
Wait.
As... You did not say...
Okay, I will tell you exactly what I'm trying to say.
Oh, Wally's pissed off now.
You're not a guest up here. You will not start asking a question by casting some kind of a stupid...
Okay, here's my question.
Wait a minute.
How is this guy ever, like, popular? He can't just spit it out. I mean, he always sounds like... He's like the weakling kid that gets slapped in the face in front of everyone and tries to come up with, like, you know, just kind of shrinks because they know that they'll be physically dominated and can't think of, like, some good action movie line to say in response to even save a little bit of face. So they just kind of fumble and stutter and... This is the guy. He gets all mad. He's like, what do you mean by Jew? It's pathetic. Captain Save a Jew over here, white knighting like fuck for the Jews.
Jews comprise only 2.5% of the population. Why do we as Christian sovereign citizens have to pay a kosher tax on our food?
I mean, of all the questions, come on, guys. Like, I mean, I get, but the funny thing is, he doesn't even answer that. So, as most people hopefully are aware, when you go and buy food, there are lots of little kosher symbols that you should look out for. Because, well, almost everything is kosher. And the kosher taxes, those companies that produce those foods, I mean, look, it's not like a bad question. Given the context, it's a bad question. It's a minor detail compared to everything else that you could be asking. But maybe Americans weren't aware of this, and maybe, you know, I don't know how effective it was. But it is true that when you buy food, you're basically paying a tax to Jews. Because if that food has a kosher certified symbol on it, and almost all food does. In fact, If you've got food near you, let me look, let me bring up the kosher symbol graphic. There's lots of them. So this isn't even all of them, but this is a good one. Bring this up here. All right. So if you've got food nearby at your desk or wherever it is you are, look for one of these symbols somewhere on the label. I'd be shocked if at least one of them was not there. That U is the most common one, I think, in the United States. That's the one that I see on everything. A U with a circle around it. If it has that symbol on the packaging, you are paying a Jewish tax to buy that product. And what I mean by that is that company pays a literal rabbi to bless that Coca-Cola, those cornflakes, whatever the fuck it is, before they go out the door. And, well, that cost gets rolled into the price of the product. And so, in a sense, you are paying a kosher tax for, as I say, almost everything that you eat, especially goy slop. Especially goy slop. But anyway, I don't know if that's the best question, but even this question, Irv Rubin doesn't even answer that.
You don't have to.
You have to buy it.
Oh, sure. You don't have to buy it.
You're starved to death.
But you don't have to buy it.
Major type of produce that my wife,
what about aluminum foil,
the wives of my friends want to put on their table. So why do we have to support Israelites?
Kosherized.
We can't all talk. Do you have an answer for that, Irv?
It's silly. I'm not going to answer.
Okay.
Of course not, because they can't defend it.
Doesn't even answer that. Doesn't even answer that. Why do the goy have to pay for a fucking kosher certification for 2.5% of the population?
Okay, we're back. And as you can see...
So this is... They go to break and they come back and Metzger's gone and the set is destroyed and they never show you. They never show you what happened. They show you after it's already happening, but the reason they don't show you, I don't have proof of this, but I can only assume, is because Irv Rubin was the instigator. Irv Rubin probably juice-burged out and attacked Metzger, and that's why they don't show it. They're in a TV studio with cameras rolling. This was a big story. I'll show you the news story afterwards here in a second. It was a big story, this violence, because this is before Jerry Springer. This is before any of this stuff was happening on TV. The fact that this is before Geraldo got punched by Nazis. This is what paved the way because of the ratings that they got. And so it was a big deal. You would think they'd want to show that clip. It would be, you know, in 1987 terms, a viral, as far as things could be viral, it'd be a viral clip that you would think that they'd want to show on the news. But they don't. They don't show that. They clip out the first, I don't know, it's hard to know exactly, but at least, you know, 10 seconds or so of the altercation to protect the fact that the Jew was the one that instigated.
He had a little violence here. Now, Irv Rubin is an emotional man. And
now he starts making excuses because, again, Irv Rubin was the instigator. And he starts saying, well, you know, he had to attack him. It's literally the same thing as, well, he said nigger. Of course the black guy gets to kill the white guy because he said nigger. The only difference is, well, he said the Holocaust didn't happen.
Is an emotional man. And hold on. He lost his temper. But I want to tell you something, folks. The Jews in this country and around the world have been persecuted for so many years by people like this jerk over here who left. It's about time somebody lost their temper, don't you think so?
Oh, he deserved it. You see? Violence against white people from Jews is totally justified. Totally justified, because just like it's justified if a white person says nigger, it's justified if a white person says the Holocaust didn't happen. And then, oh, look, he's such a sensitive man. He's so full of emotion after the unfortunate incident.
When a man like Tom Metzger will sit on this stage, not only
he deserves a fucking Oscar. Look at that. Oh, the ever-suffering Jew.
On today with Irv Rubin, but time after time that I've had this animal on my show, and time after time he has preached the word of hatred on my program. Hatred of the blacks, hatred of the Chicanos, hatred of the Jews. We cannot have hatred in this country. That's not what this country is all about.
Eat it up, Goyim. Wally. And they did. They ate it up. Look at that crowd. Look at all those dumb fucking Goyim. That's right. We hate. That's what we hate. That's the only thing we hate, is hate. And I guess Nazis and KKK and whatever.
For a man like Metzger to sit in front of a Jew and say there was no Holocaust, when his family and Jewish families around the world are grieving over those who died in Hitler's ovens and in fact can still smell the stench in their nostrils, when you lose your temper over this kind of a guy, I can't blame Reuben, can you?
No!
We can't have this kind of thing. We need people like Metzger out of this country. God bless you who believe in America and that this is a country for all races, all religions, all creeds. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, says the Goy. Wally, you tell them. You tell those races. And like I said, I found a news report about the incident, and again they clip out the fact that the Jew started it.
Everybody, it's 11 o'clock. It was fight night at the weekly taping of the Wally George Show on Channel 56 television, and reporter Ed Arnold had a ringside seat for the main event.
This is what took place even before the taping of the Hot Seat television show at KDOC in Anaheim. Host Wally George had already seated Tom Metzger, the former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, but when Irv Rubin, the leader of the Jewish Defense League, was being led to his seat for the debate, you see how hot things got. When it was finally calm enough, the exchange began between Metzger and Rubin, with Wally George in between.
Again, it settled down, but not for long.
Yep, conveniently, we don't have the part where Irv Rubin attacked Metzger. We just have after the security is holding people back, and it's hard to tell what happened. And the way it's reported, they don't explain what happened. So, of course, the people at home, what do they assume? They assume, clearly, the evil Nazi attacked a Jew. So that is, that was the takeaway for the people at home. Anyway, I just thought I might give you a window into, like when I say there's nothing new under the sun, this is what I'm talking about. The same arguments are being made, the same optimism you see from people like Metzger. Oh, we're kicking you conservatives out. We're going to be the new conservatives. Heard that before. People have said that before. And usually what happens is you get a lot of people selling you out. You get people that choose popularity and Jewish money over their race. And that's just an unfortunate reality. And again, I'm not saying that we haven't made any progress. If I thought that we'd made zero progress, I wouldn't bother. I just wouldn't bother anymore. But I do think that it's a reality check when you see that 40 fucking years ago, these are the same fucking conversations that were taking place. And the same power disparity existed. And it's just, It is what it is. Anyway, let's take a look at Hyper Chats, shall we? Let's first go to... No, Love and Division must not be here, because we got nothing on Odyssey. So we'll go to Entropy. All right, Entropy, we got Coilia Dante. Says, I owe you an apology because I thought your theory about Tucker Carlson deliberately acting as a pressure release valve was contrived, only to watch him go independent and start spewing totally unrelated but equally disarming bullshit. Well, that's okay. You don't need to apologize. I've just seen it before. I've seen it before, just like what we've been looking at tonight. I've seen all this shit before. And Tucker is never going to be race-pilled. He'll lead people to right up to the conclusion and then veer off in another direction. And that's just the case. These people are in the positions of power that they're in because they've been vetted. They wouldn't allow anyone that was truly pro-white to even have a platform. Look how difficult it is for anyone that is actually pro-white just to get monetized, just to do like some real basic stuff. You don't think that the same rules apply to someone? I mean, look, just Tucker is extra cowardly because someone like Tucker with the fortune that he inherited would have the ability to ride that storm and would have the ability to maybe even create platforms to create a place for other people like that were pro-white, if he was pro-white, and, you know, publish their books and, you know, host their stream. He could do all that. And it would just be a financial nightmare for him because he's probably most of his money, it's on paper, right? He's probably heavily invested in a lot of things. A lot of business business realities would change if he were to go against the Jews and, or really against, diversity generally. So yeah, it is what it is, but I'm glad you've seen through it now. I'm glad you've seen through it. So no apology necessary. Someone stole my bike, says, brilliant so far, professor. Going to have to catch the rest on the replay. First time ever hearing about the Metzger guy. Now, Metzger's old school. It's sad what happened to him in old age. If you saw, like, the... who's that guy? The British retard that does all those documentaries. But they followed up with him, and, you know, he wasn't doing so hot financially in old age because he went all in on this. And, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, when you are up against the machine, sometimes the machine chews you up and spits you out. And he did what he could, I think. He wasn't perfect. None of these, you know, that's the other thing, too, is when we look back at these people, sometimes I think people think I'm shitting on these guys, and I'm not. I'm just trying to make it a learning experience. Look at what they did wrong so we don't repeat the mistakes. Look at what they did right as well, right? But especially, and I talked about this in a couple of streams where I said, like, look, a lot of these guys, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have any institutional support. They didn't have a whole lot of financial support. They were trying to navigate an even more oppressive environment as a result of, you know, there was no internet or, you know, relatively the censorship was a lot more aggressive that they had to deal with. And not only that, the proximity to the civil rights movement was a lot different. And while I think we're just as Jewed up now in terms of Jewish influence in our country, we're just as Zionist occupied as we've ever been. So not that that's, so I don't think that's really changed. But I would say that The average American, because of the fresh propaganda blitz concerning the Holocaust, was very, I mean, the 90s, as I said, was the most philo-Semitic decade in American history. So this is a lot of these guys from the 80s, that's what they were up against. Like, America loved fucking Jews, and they still do, just not maybe to that insane degree. And so, I'm not shitting on these guys, but it's good to see where the mistakes were made, and so we don't make those same mistakes. But yeah, he did what he could, I think. All right, then we got anti-democracy nada. Oh, why is that not playing?
White power.
All right, skinhead churro. Anti-democracy nada says, in regards to your last outlaw stream, J. Edgar Hoover is a homo. He was also aligned heavily with Jewish gangsters, going as far as to deny their existence. Hoover would have orgies at Louis Rosenstiel's New York mansion with Roy Cohn. His second-in-command, Clyde Tolson, and Archbishop Cardinal Spellman. They would all fuck little boys together, too. Lansky was also blackmailing him over his gayness. Brittany Webb has confirmed this. You mean Whitney Webb? Well, look, yeah, that's very possible. I don't know. I've never looked into him. I just found it curious that in mainstream movies, they were always calling him a cross-dresser and stuff. So I was like, wonder if that's just because Jews are pissed off about what he did, you know. But he might have just been like a homo, like you say. So, yeah, worth looking into. I'll have to take a look. Then we got, are you a colonizer? All right. Are you a colonizer? Says, just wondering if your listeners saw Oak Tree's Elon is what he means by that, compensation package being contingent upon a Mars colony housing 1 million colonists. The future is not as far as you think it is. Find your fellow colonizers now. Build your children's futures together. They will thank you for it. Yeah, look, I don't think I'll live to see the colonization of Mars, but I am optimistic about that being the next frontier. Obviously there's some pretty major obstacles. And I also kind of feel like, unfortunately, unless we're able to do something about it, they're going to send niggers in space like they just did. The moon is still whites only, but that'll change. You know, the second they can, they're going to send a nig on the moon. They just sent one around the moon. So yeah, unless we're able to change that zeitgeist, right? You're going to, although, I mean, look, to be fair, they won't be the ghetto nigs, right? It'll be like the best nigs they can find, but still, you know. But yeah, raise your kids to be very technologically successful. I mean, even if you're doing like the homestead thing, even if you're doing like a rural life, there's no reason to keep them stupid. And I mean, obviously don't have them raised on an iPad. I mean, that actually gives you brain damage. there was a new study that came out that literally kids raised with screens early on get actual brain damage. So don't do that. But also don't raise cavemen. But thank you very much there. Are you a colonizer? Then we got Optimistically Pessimistic says, get paid from entropy yet? Not yet, but according to a message I got, that will happen. They're going to start saying payments Monday. So we'll see if that doesn't start happening, then we're going to have a totally, we're going to have a conversation about that. But I'm willing to look, their communication has been dog shit about this. That's something that is not good. Regardless of what they're dealing with in their personal lives, when you got other people's money on the line, you owe them some heads up on it, okay? But I went out of my way to find out an update on that, and the update I've been told is that Monday they were able to get the money out of Canada. I guess that was like the problem, the holdup, and they'll be able to start sending it to people next week. So we'll see if they do. Good, great. All right, I'm a patient guy. I'm a patient guy, but we'll see. All right. Then we got Anti-Democracy Nada says, I meant to say Whitney Webb. Yeah, that's fine. And her book in reference to J. Edgar Hoover, typed Brittany Webb by mistake. Here's a few extra shekels for you. Oh, I appreciate that. Did she write an actual book on him? I'll look into it. She does good research. All right. Then we got Optimistically Pessimistic says, hey, Devin, you should look into Eddie Lampard, a hedge fund manager Jew who destroyed Sears Roebuck. Anyways, keep up the good work. That's interesting. I think the internet kind of also destroyed it, but I don't know anything about it. All I know is they went from being like the biggest company in America. I think they were the biggest company. Maybe not the biggest. They were definitely the biggest retailer. They were huge. I mean, they were huge. And then they don't exist. Are you a colonizer? Says, have you ever looked into the real life story of the Jew, Jordan Belfort, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wall Street? It's all Jews, every single one of them. Got to love how they cast a goy to play him. No, I've never looked into it. But that could be an interesting stream. And you know, obviously that would be Jews. Yeah, well, a Jew in Wall Street? No. Rabbit Hole says, I just wanted to thank you for the replies to my super chats about moving somewhere white. Don't hit the panic button. Invest time and willing to make friends and help. Wait. This says 2 out of 3, but I don't see the other. I don't see 1 out of 3. Let's see here. Friends, help them visit the place first. Was it difficult or stressful for you early on? Well, when I got out of the city, not really. I've never stressed out about moving. When I moved out and I did like the Earthship thing, I mean, I was at a different point in my life. I didn't have like a whole lot of, what's the right word? I didn't have anything holding me back or tethering me to anywhere. So that was an easy thing. I've told this story. When I was 14, I ran away from home and, was gone for months and made it thousands of miles before I was arrested. It's never, going out and doing that just never, I don't stress about moving. Now that said, there are things you should do because I have never stressed out about it. It didn't 100% go great. You want to research where you're going in terms of, it depends on what are you going to just get a house? I mean, obviously you want to know what's the housing market like there. market, what's the job market like there? If you have kids, you know, what's the, or even if you don't, like, what's the crime rate out there? You know, what's the weather like there? Is because you might move to an area that's, maybe you hate shoveling driveways, you know, snow out of driveways, and you know you don't want to move. There's places where you don't want to move then, or maybe you really hate hot summers. You definitely wouldn't want to live here. So you definitely want to and look, thanks to the internet, you can find all this stuff pretty easy. But yeah, I would also go there. I wouldn't just move. I've done it. I've moved without, you know, sight unseen. I've moved a bunch of places for a job and things like that, out of necessity, but also just cause like I was at a time in my life where it didn't really matter much. When you're younger, a lot of the stuff doesn't matter, or at least it matters less, right? Once you have other people that rely on you and stuff like that, then, you know, all this changes. But if you're just like a single young guy, moving, if you move somewhere and you hate it, moving again is, you know, as long as you have a marketable skill, as long as you have the kind of resume where you can get work pretty easily, if you're a pretty competent guy, it sucks to move, but it's not that bad, you know, because again, when you're a young guy, you don't have a lot of stuff either, right? So moving's not as big of a pain in the ass. You could, if you can pack everything in one of those pods, or, you know, that's, I mean, if you're living in like in a small, like one bedroom apartment, how much stuff do you have? You know what I mean? So moving's not that big of a deal, but you always research where you're going. Let's see. And it says, looks like it didn't play for the pay for the last super chat. Disregard. Ask about bees in the PNW. By the way, there's no need to join some fat infested group in a white enough place, especially today. I feel my new neighbors are on board with keeping each other safe. Right. Well, and where I live now, I'm surrounded by white people who, if I were to be explicit with my racial beliefs, would be uncomfortable. But implicitly, they get it. And they all watch out for each other. And when they see a suspicious Mexican or something like that, you know, they let each other know. But they're, unfortunately, you know, they've got that, like I was talking at the beginning of the stream, they've got that old gasoline sludge in the tank. And you can't, you know, you can't undo it. So you got to work with what you got. You don't have to necessarily move to some place that's, you know, that's like explicitly pro-white. As long as you, you don't want to, I probably wouldn't want to live in some white lib shit area. Those places are usually really expensive anyway. So, yeah, I mean, you pick your battles. All right. Thank you very much. Rabbit hole. Then we got Optimistically Pessimistic says there's kosher plastic containers. And the only things that I've seen not kosher is directly from China. And I believe from Korea as well. Keep up the good work. Yeah, no, even like, I think like aluminum foil and shit like that can be kosher. So yeah, you're paying a Jew tax every time you buy any of these things. That's what it is. They've found a way to charge every goy a Jew tax. All right, then we got a big dono from every single time.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right. Every single time says thanks, Devin. Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for the big dono there every single time. 07's in chat for every single time. All right, then we go to Rumble. All right, Rumble, Rumble, Rumble. Supreme Rabbi Satan says, Dave Owen, Bill Maher's mother is kosher. His father was a potato. Where's retarded faggot? I don't know. I don't know a retarded faggot. A retarded faggot is on sabbatical, perhaps. But he's MIA. Someone said that he popped up once, but I haven't seen him in chat at least in a long time. And then Supreme Rabbi Satan again.
White fucking power.
Supreme Rabbi Satan says, my title is the Supreme Rabbi Satan, like the Ohio State University. You are offending the Supreme Rabbi Satan. Get it right, Goy. All will kneel before the Supreme Rabbi Satan. Well, there you go. And then the Supreme Rabbi Satan says, also, you need to work on your satanic Yiddish accent. Things sound better when I say them. You sound like a Goy in the desert reading text on a monitor. Yeah, I don't do a very good Jew voice. I don't have like a, oh my God. That's the best I can do, really. All right, then we got Real Starfish Prime says, Dr. Stack, I'll catch you on the replay. Well, hello to Real Starfish Prime in the future. Then we got Gorilla Hands. Gorilla Hands says, hey, Devin, I was the one who suggested that the episode on the Outer Limits with the Chad being frozen and then being awakened in a world of girl bosses, that episode itself is not worth a stream. You're telling me. Also. But add with another girl bosses episode of the show Sliders, it would show how we were propagandized to believe girl bosses were better than the 90s. I don't know. Might be worth like a... I'd have to do more than just two. Maybe like a... It could fit in a collage, perhaps. But yeah, the... You could have warned me about the interracial lesbian porn. You could have warned me about that. All right, thank you very much, Gorilla Hands. Then, oh, Gorilla Hands again says, you were talking about Woody Allen on the last stream. Never understood how or why people liked him. He was a creepy and neurotic Jew. Anyway, I am doing my hyper chats or rants on Rumble from now on. Well, I appreciate that, Gorilla Hands. And, I could never understand. When I was a kid, obviously, I didn't realize the Jew thing. And I never understood why. And I was big into movies. I was always, like, big into movies. I grew up big into movies. And that was one of those things where I was just like, what? Who likes this guy? He just seems like a whiny piece of shit. All right, speaking of whiny pieces of shit, Churro is here. What's up, Churro? You want to come back inside again? My God in heaven. All right, hang on. Sorry, Churro's wasting everyone's time again. He was gone again. This is what he does. He was gone for like a day and a half, and then he hears me doing the stream. I'm like, oh, I'm back. Feed me. Bottomless pit Churro. He eats so much food, it's a little ridiculous. But yeah, Woody Allen, I can never figure it out. All right, then we got Rupert. It says, replay gang here. See you next time, Professor Stack. Have a good night. Appreciate that. Then we got Dagtastic says, hail, Devin and Churro. Well, he's right here eating a big sloppy can of food. Big Chris says, bro, I grew up in Phoenix and used to do commercial painting. This was 20 years ago, and even then my company knew to send the Mexicans to track homes and us whites to private million-dollar ones. Yep, yep. I mean, look, it's, yeah, the difference in quality between a white guy who gives a shit, and has 20 points IQ on the Mexican, they're always going to do a better job than some Mexican that's going to be drinking Tecate and having nail gun fights on the roof. Then we got Tomahawk says, going to have to watch the replay. Have some ducats for Churro. Well, I appreciate that. So does Churro, I'm sure. The Shogun says, I'd like to hear a conversation between you and Mark Collett about teaming up with Nons. We did that once, actually. That wasn't the full conversation, but we did discuss that. I think last time I was on his show, I'm trying to remember the context, like why it came up, but we talked about it, and it's just, you know, what are we even doing? Like, what if, as I've said 100 times, and I know I'll have to say it 100 times again, if you have to team up with Nons to achieve your goals, then you are literally saying diversity is our strength. If you need the diversity to achieve your goals, then diversity is your strength. So what are you complaining about? You should be happy the diversity's here, because apparently they're the ones that you need to achieve your goals. So that, it just doesn't make any sense. And anyone that's doing that is just trying to maximize their popularity and their super chats. That's really what it comes down to. That's someone who's trying to maximize audience size when they know, just like the Republican Party knows, that demographically, if you're trying to future-proof your career, you need to have Hispanic outreach and Black outreach. That's what those people are doing. And so it just doesn't make any fucking kind of sense to me whatsoever if you're actually pro-white. So, I mean, necessarily that means that anyone doing that's not actually pro-white. All right, then we got Astralis, 725 Nubian monsters. That's got to be one of my favorites there. I'm on Tom's team in the Shabos Goy Wallies, backup of the Jew in the hot seat episode. Wait, hold on. I'm on Tom's team in the Shabos Goy, backup of the Jew in the hot seat episode. The book is The Zionist Connection. You mean in the background, or are you saying you were actually at that show? I mean, you worded this weird. I'm on Tom's team in the Shabos Goy backup of the Jew in the hot seat episode. In the backup? I don't know. I think you're saying that you're one of the people there, which is, that's pretty fucking crazy and awesome that you were there. The Zionist, it is the Zionist connection, but look at that. We got someone that witnessed this, or at least that's how I interpreted what you wrote there. Someone who was actually there. Look, that show is big for people in California. And it got some national notoriety. I had never heard of Wally George until someone had mentioned the show. I'd come across in doing searches on researching some other shit. I'd come across his like videos here and there that were on YouTube, and but didn't really dig into them until tonight. And then I was just like horrified at how like exactly Shabbos Goy he was. But that's par for the course, it seems like, right? Oh, look at that. Now Churro wants to go outside. Hang on, buddy. You wanted to come in. Now you're in for a minute. Then we got Purple Catmint says, thanks, Devin. Appreciate that. We got Fanny Schroot says, fuck them. They're not us. /. Big agree. Big agree. And then we got scroll. Rumble could do a better job with this part of the super chat interface. Then we got Cage Mushinjaro says, great movie showing how Jews took government control is A Touch of Evil. A border cop gets conspired against by Jews while he's doing his job and ends up getting betrayed by his best friends. Interesting. I will put that in my notes. Hang on a second. But there, where's my notes at? Is it this one? No, is this it? Yes. All right. Scroll. Then Cage Mushinjaro says, you're never going to run out of content, are you, Devin? When you count all the goy cattle, Jews make up much more than 2% of the population. When I count up all the goy cattle, Jews make up much more, you say much more than 2%. Well, yeah, if you count them as Jews. I'd like to know, there's people that that have suggested that there are far more Jews than just 2% of the population anyway. I don't know where, I'd have to look and see where they're, what the source is of that number, but it seems like that has stayed pretty, at least really, I mean, it hasn't, I mean, it's fluctuated a little bit, but it's hovered right around 2% every time I've heard it referenced, almost going back, almost like to post-World War II. But I feel like that maybe there is more, right? Maybe they, because I could see why Jews would want to, people to perceive them as being that small of a minority. And as much as people use that as a talking point to show that they're overrepresented and everything, maybe there is more than 2%. I don't know. I mean, I would have to say, just based on how many people I've known in my life day to day and how many of them were Jewish, 2% sounds about right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've known Jews, but like, seems like about 2% of the people I interacted with in my life, maybe that number seems about right, you know. But, you know, maybe there are more. But, yeah, certainly if you count people like Trump as Jews, then it's like 50%. Heradius 148 says, look into how the SPLC sued Metzger. Huge story at the time. Metzger had to fix TVs below board to avoid them seizing his money, never paid them a dime. Check out Jim Goad's column on Metzger. Yeah, I might have to do that. I was kind of talking, that's because I was referencing when I was talking about that documentary he was in later in life where he was fixing TVs. It just kind of felt like I felt for him because I was like, well, that's the kind of thing like that could happen to me, really. You know, I'm fixing radios or some stupid shit when I'm old. I mean, you know, look, he wasn't like destitute by any means, but he deserved better, I feel like. And yeah, SPLC, go figure, right? They went and tried to destroy him. Scroll. All right. Let me just double check entropy again. I think we're good. Which is good because I got to let Churro out. All right, guys. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend. And I'll see you on Wednesday, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time with Rebecca Hargraves for Outlaws. And, of course, back here 10 o'clock Saturday for another edition of the Insomnia Strain. In the meantime, for Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stang.
Yes! Power, baby. Yeah! Axe kick board break to start off this creative breaking tournament routine. Yeah! Up next is Isabella now with a headbutt board break. Yes. Good hit. Here in the breaking point, breaking championships. Yeah! Going for a knee strike. Yeah! Yeah! Yes. Excellent technique and power so far. Representing team victory. Up next, a back leg roundhouse kick. Three boards. Here we go. Yes. Having a great time here at the Southern Showdown. Six boards. Double hammer fist. Here it goes. Good hit. Now coming up to break some concrete. We have one concrete slab going for a side kick concrete break. Here it goes. Measuring the distance and a little high. Going to try again. Here it goes. Yes. Excellent technique and power. Awesome performance. One final break. Here goes three concrete slabs. The forearm break. Yes. Good hits. Power, baby.